You and Me and BPD, Season 4, Episode 4. Opening up, looking for therapy. So, in the last episode, I spoke about various ways that we might decide to begin to talk about our mental health. And I mentioned at the beginning of that episode that this episode was going to be focusing more on understanding different types of therapies and some of the things to look for when we are specifically trying to begin therapy. And something that I think is important to point out is that sometimes having the conversations with the people in our life, like our friends and our family or our partners, around what our mental health is currently like, can be very daunting and can feel very confusing, or there's sometimes guilt or shame associated with that. And so there are some people who feel more comfortable going to a therapist, going to an external third party, somebody who doesn't know your whole backstory and doesn't have that close interpersonal relationship with you. But of course, like all things in life, looking for therapy can be really hard. You might not know where to begin. You might not know what even types of therapy are out there and how it could benefit you, especially if you live with borderline personality disorder. I've spoken a couple of times about stigma and about the way that the mental health profession looks at the diagnosis of BPD. And sometimes I've heard from people that I've spoken to that they've come across therapists who haven't wanted to work with them, or who have said it's too hard to figure out a treatment plan for you. And when you live with a personality disorder, that can sometimes feel like you are expected to handle everything yourself. And I want to let you know that that is not true. There are many different forms of therapies out there, and there are many different tools that therapists bring to their practices in order to help you. So if you are just beginning to look into therapy, maybe you got suggested that you should go look for therapy, maybe you're just completely starting from scratch, I want this conversation to be an introduction to not only the different types of therapies out there, specifically with a focus on what has been kind of scientifically proven to help people with BPD, but also, what are some tips that we can look for when we are trying to find a good therapist? Because fundamentally, we're not always going to vibe with everybody that we find. Just because somebody is a licensed mental health professional or a registered social worker doesn't mean that they are the correct fit for you. So we'll begin by talking about what are some different types of therapies out there, and how can we access them? And I'll give you my own backstory of how I accessed my therapies and the current therapy I'm doing. And then we'll talk a little bit about, now that you kind of have this foundational knowledge of what therapy can be, how do you find a therapist? And ultimately, how do you find a good therapist for what you need? So, to begin, the most common form of therapy that you will hear about is talk therapy. So talk therapy is classic: sit down, there's a therapist across from you, there's a mental health professional across from you, and you're talking. You know, you're going back and forth. Maybe they're asking you questions, or maybe they're saying, how are you today? And you are just telling them about what's going on in your life. From talk therapy, this is also often called psychotherapy, although psychotherapy has a basis in Freudian theory, but sometimes, in a lot of cases, people who are therapists will also be psychotherapists. And when we're looking for somebody to work with, you'll kind of come across some key acronyms or letters beside their name. So, for instance, in my insurance, which is how I am able to afford therapy, I have to look for somebody who is a registered social worker. or a registered psychotherapist. So when I am looking for somebody to work with, that's what I will look at first. Are they registered? Do they have a body, a college of psychotherapists, social workers, private counselors that they report to that holds them to a certain standard? That is how I am able to afford therapy, is through my insurance. And depending on what your insurance is, or depending on how you are accessing this therapy, if it's through your parents' insurance, through your school insurance, you are gonna have different paradigms or different kind of structural mechanics that you have to work within. And then there are different types of therapy. So one of the most common forms is cognitive behavioral therapy, that is known as CBT. And this is focusing on teaching you how your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors influence each other. So you might begin by looking at a situation in your life and then thinking about, okay, how do your feelings about the situation influence your behaviors when it comes to dealing with a specific family member? CBT is often a structured, short-term, goal-oriented practice, which involves practicing out skills or conversations that you might have and learning problem-solving strategies. So CBT is kind of the most common form of therapy that I've seen that is available. And a lot of therapists who do this will work with people who have anxiety, people who have eating disorders, people who might have BPD, but it doesn't get so much into, you know, the real structural basis of why you are the way you are, right? It kind of looks at a situation and says, how can we understand what is influencing this situation? And CBT therapy is great. It's a really good starting place if you're just beginning to explore mental health. You're not 100% sure what you might need. I've known many people who have been in CBT therapy and they've said that it really helped them to deal with transitions in their life, or to deal with grief or death or breakups that happen. So I'm not discrediting CBT. There is a time and a place for this type of therapy. But when we specifically talk about BPD therapy and looking for a therapist that can help with borderline personality disorder, we might be more inclined to look for a DBT therapist. This is dialectical behavioral therapy. This is an evidence-based approach with a greater focus on emotional and social issues. So this has a really big emphasis on our interpersonal relationships, as well as understanding how we can accept things in our life, maybe things that we don't want to happen, or maybe things that have happened in the past, and how we can change the outlook for the future. So DBT really draws on impacting the skills that we have kind of in our roadmap of our mind in order to understand when problems arise, how can we handle those problems. DBT was specifically developed by Marsha Linehan in the early 1970s. And it was developed specifically around the time that borderline personality disorder was also becoming a diagnosis. So DBT is focused on things like core mindfulness skills, emotional resiliency, understanding interpersonal relationships and how these relationships impact our emotional well-being and our sense of self. DBT is, for the most part, very oriented in training. So a standard program of DBT will be about 1 year in length, consisting of a training group, individual therapy sessions, and potentially individual therapy, coaching, or a consultation team. So it is a very structured way of looking at mental health. And it was developed because the kind of idea behind it was that people with borderline personality disorder need a little bit more help actually formulating how they are going to interact to triggers and impulse control, and how we are going to understand our behaviors in order to change the outcome. I have not been in a structured DBT therapy session, so I can't speak to that reality, but I have experience working through a DBT workbook with my therapist for about 6 to 7 months. So we got a workbook together, we worked through them, she made me keep a mood journal, we talked about some of the ways that the DBT skills, and there are a lot of skill books out there, so if this sounds interesting to you, I highly recommend some. Reach out to me and I'll give you the name of those. But DBT skills are kind of foundational ways that we can navigate our mental health. And especially for people with borderline personality disorder, when it feels like you might be overwhelmed by social situations or interpersonal struggles that are going on, DBT skills can help you to have kind of a framework of, okay, how do I address this? How do I handle this? How do I keep myself safe? There is another relatively newer therapy. It was developed in the early 1990s, and it is called mentalization therapy. It is a mixture of group and individual therapy sessions, which centralizes its belief on the instability of attachment to caregivers in early childhood. So it encourages patients to mentalize their behaviors instead of a therapist sitting there and giving you advice. So in mentalization therapy, there is a focus on present emotions and how we can understand our emotional recognition and connection to our behaviors. So this was developed as kind of an offshoot of BPD therapy, DBT therapy. And the idea behind it is that we, as people with borderline personality disorder, we have had childhoods that were disrupted. We have had childhoods where our caregivers haven't given us everything that we need. Maybe we've experienced trauma or significant neglect or abuse. And because of that, we come to situations already distrusting what is happening. And in mentalization therapy, it is a focus on the present. So as opposed to maybe talking about our childhood and talking about how we came to where we are, it is a focus on understanding how our emotions are impacting our behaviors. And so in mentalization therapy, a therapist won't necessarily give you advice. They won't necessarily ask you leading questions or try to, you know, sit there and work out a situation with you. They really try to provide space for you to work through your own mentalization of what is happening so that you can understand how this connection between emotions and behavior plays out in your own mind. None of these therapies are 100% proven to cure to cure borderline personality disorder. And I've spoken about it in the past in another episode about how some people come to therapy expecting that throughout the therapy process, they are gonna walk away cured. They're gonna walk away never experiencing a bad day in their life, never experiencing the depressive waves that come with this emotional instability that we live with. And I wanna make it clear that therapy is not a cure. It is not something that can take away your trauma or that can completely alter your brain system and the way that your brain functions. It is merely meant to be a tool through which somebody else helps to guide you so that you can better understand where you're coming from, what's happening inside of yourself, and hopefully learn a little bit more emotional resilience to triggers and situations that occur in your life. Therapy is one of those things that some people, they just adamantly don't want to do. And I think I was that way for quite a bit of my life. I thought, there's no way I need to be in therapy. But when I began, it was mainly because I was a university student and I just couldn't handle my life. I couldn't handle being a parent and being a student and being a supervisor at my job. And I reached a breaking point where I realized that I needed to talk to someone. And so I started with a psychiatrist, and I started with free therapy from my university. And then eventually I found my own therapist. And finding my own therapist was a battle because I was recently diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. This was back in 2016. And I wanted to find somebody who would listen to me and give me the space to work through not only my childhood, which I had never spoken about to anyone, but also what was going on in my life at that moment in time, and just kind of validate how I was feeling and acknowledging that it was a lot for a 23-year-old to undertake, being a student, a recently married person, and then also working like 25, 26 hours a week. It was a lot. And so the number one way that I found therapy and that I have continued to find therapy is actually through a website called psychologytoday.com. This is not sponsored. I don't want you to think that I am like plugging this website saying it's the best website ever. It's just what I used. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is because, as I've mentioned before, I'm in Canada. And I find that sometimes going through private companies or going through specific therapist's office, sometimes you can't find reviews, or you can't find a good understanding of where the people are or their practices and what they focus on. And for me, using Psychology Today has really helped me to focus in on, do I want virtual visits? Do I want a sliding scale? Do I want somebody who actually knows about borderline personality disorder? And when I was in therapy before for another issue, I was able to specifically look up that. And Psychology Today gave me all of these different names of local therapists in Toronto where I was. And I was able to look through all of their individual profiles. It's essentially like a LinkedIn for psychologists. I was also able to specifically sort for registered social workers or registered licensed mental health professionals. So within that, it's kind of like this whole landscape of mental health professionals, and then you can pick and choose which people you want to work with. Another reason why I'm mentioning it is because it is available in a multitude of different countries, including the US, the UK, Belgium, Colombia, Spain, Australia, Hong Kong, Singapore, and various other countries. So if you are just beginning your therapist journey and you're not 100% sure where to even find a therapist, you might want to take a shot and look at psychologytoday.com. That sounded so much like a spiel of like selling you something. I'm not selling you something. I'm not getting anything from this. I wish I was, but I'm not. And then I think another aspect of this conversation that is important is what to look for in a therapist. So if you are just starting therapy, if you're just wanting to explore how to find a therapist, obviously, you want to look at, if you're going through insurance, you want to look at their designation. So are they a registered social worker, or are they psychiatrist or psychologist? Who are you looking for? What kind of person are you looking for? if you're a person of color, are you looking for somebody who can understand the Black experience or the BIPOC experience? Or are you looking for somebody who understands what it means to be an immigrant to the country where you're from? Sometimes these cultural things can really create a difference between somebody who is able to relate to you and understand your history and your backstory, and somebody who's not. You know, like, I look for queer and LGBTQ plus friendly therapists because for me, my queer identity is very much intertwined with the way that I see myself and the way that I interact with people in my life. You also will want to take a look at what are some of the key things that this person says that they like to work on. For instance, my recent therapist that I found, she's a lovely lady, and when I was looking for a therapist to start over again, I specifically was looking up personality disorders and mood disorders, and I wanted to find somebody who had a background in understanding more complex diagnoses, because if you don't understand what borderline personality disorder is, and I'm telling you I'm feeling anxious and overwhelmed and all these different feelings, and that's all you're focusing on, then I find it hard to sit down and have a conversation with you in a mental health capacity, because your understanding is significantly lacking what I needed to have if you're gonna support me during my harder times. I had a therapist once who didn't really understand borderline personality disorder. And so when I was talking to her, she would say, okay, let's focus on one emotion at a time. And I was like, you don't understand that I can't even do that. I am not one emotion at a time. I am a jumbled mess of emotions. And you asking me to do that is not something that I am capable of doing. This was not a therapist that I ended up working with for very long, but she also wanted to focus on my past a lot. She kept on bringing up my past and saying, and what is your relationship like to your mom? What is your relationship like to your dad? And I was like, I have a very strained relationship to my parents, and focusing on that strained relationship is not helping me. That's not what I needed. Someone else out there, it might be exactly what they need. Maybe what they need is to talk about their childhood. Maybe what they need is for someone to just listen to them trauma dump. And that's totally fine. That's what mental health professionals are trained to do, right? They're trained to provide space so that you can talk freely. But if you're meeting with someone and they keep on bringing up your relationship to your parents when that's not really what you want to talk about, maybe that person isn't a good fit for you. So look at some of their key identifying kind of factors of what they say they're really good at. If they're a relationship coach and you're looking for a therapist to help you with a relationship problem, then that's exactly who you want. But if you want to talk about, you know, post-traumatic stress, then you need to find someone who has that training. Find someone who has those certificates or those skills to work with people like that. Also, when it comes to BPD, I think it's important to reach out to someone and say, if you think you might have BPD, tell them, right? And maybe explore with them what that means. But also ask them questions such as, have you ever worked with someone with BPD? Do you know what BPD is? Do you have any skill sets that could really help someone living with this disorder? Because if they don't, right, it doesn't mean that they're a bad therapist. It just means that they have a different focus in what they're specifically wanting to work with. There are some therapists out there who work with trans people and help them during their social transition or getting on hormones and handling the conversations with people in their life. There are other people who work with Christians who focus on exploring a Christian perspective and bringing it back to God. And all of these therapies are valid, right? But you want to make sure that when you're in this space, you feel like you can speak freely. So sometimes you do have to have that conversation before you even meet them. Also, don't be afraid to, if you are in a therapy session and you feel like it's not working for you, don't be afraid to say that. Your therapist should never take it personally what you are telling them, or if they're doing something and it's bothering you. And if they do take that personally, then that's not a therapist that you need to work with. Because when you're going somewhere and you're telling someone about everything that you've been through in your life, when you're exploring these parts of yourself that maybe you keep hidden from your partner or your parents or your close friends, you don't want to sit there and feel like you're being judged, right? Like, that is not something that you should ever experience, especially if you're paying somebody to help you. Like, there are a lot of experiences where people talk, at least from what I've heard, where people have tried to have conversations with therapists and the therapists have said, that is not what I focus on, or that is not what we're going to talk about today. And that's not a good experience for you. And you don't have to continue seeing someone. You can have one therapy with someone and then realize it's not for you and walk away. And you are valid in that. And there's nothing that can stop you from doing that. I have had at least two therapists that I've seen. One I only saw once, the other one I saw twice, and I realized that they were not good therapists for me. And that's fine, right? Doesn't mean that I'm a failure. It doesn't mean that they're a horrible person or I am never going to get the help that I need. It just means that they can't provide me with a space where I feel comfortable enough to speak and where I feel like my thoughts are validated. And ultimately, I think when it comes to therapy, it's important to acknowledge that not everybody is going to be able to help you in the capacity that you need. And even if you are seeing a therapist, let's say you found someone and you really vibe with them and you really like their style, but after a couple of months, you just feel like you dread going to therapy and you feel like it's not doing anything for you anymore, it's okay to say that. It's okay to say, I don't really need therapy right now. And that's where, you know, like the other episode I did, that's where you might turn to your friends and your family and you might say, hey, I don't really want to go to therapy because it feels too much, or I feel like I'm having to unload too much onto somebody else. So can I come to you when I'm having a hard day? Can you be someone that I can be open with and I can start to have these conversations in a more regular basis or more relaxed basis? There are some people who don't like therapy. And there are different reasons behind that, like I've mentioned in this episode. But fundamentally, if you're just beginning your mental health journey and you feel like you can't turn to your friends and family, therapy might be a really good option for you. I will say that depending on how old you are and depending on your circumstances, therapy might not be the most economical option. Where I am in Canada, there are some places where you can get free therapy if you get a referral from a doctor or you get a referral from CAMH, which is our Center for Addiction and Mental Health. But a lot of the time, these places have wait lists. And sometimes you might be looking for a therapist and all you find are people who have wait lists. And if that is your reality, then I'm sorry, that's kind of how things are right now. It's a really sad reality that therapy is inaccessible for a lot of people. And if this podcast can help you feel heard and feel seen, then I'm so happy for you. And I hope that you don't give up hope that there is a therapist out there for you. that there are places for you to get help, even if that means you have to be on a waitlist. Being on waitlists sucks, and it can sometimes feel extremely long and like extremely hard to handle the times where you don't get somebody to help you. And maybe that's where you do need to have those conversations with your friends and family, because talking about it, getting it out of your head, writing it down in a journal, or, you know, even just recording stuff like this on your phone and talking out how you're feeling can really help you to just feel a little bit lighter if you're waiting to get a therapist. Also, I do want to acknowledge that not everybody has the money. I'm only able to afford therapy because I get like 80% of it covered by my insurance, and that's only up to $1,000. So I've had 3 sessions with my therapist for now, and I know that those are going to reach a time where it's going to be inaccessible for me, and I'm not probably going to be able to pay for it anymore. And so some therapists are really nice. They offer a sliding scale if you're a student, if you're low income, if you're on disability. I don't know what your circumstances are, but you might want to be looking for someone like that, or even looking for free groups that you can go to. There are sometimes lower costs associated with a group for therapy, and group therapy can be amazing. I have not experienced it because there's just none where I live, but there are some amazing DBT groups out there that you can be a part of, and you can feel like you're not on this journey of mental health by yourself. Guess that's about where we're gonna end this episode. I hope that something has spoken to you today, and I hope you've learned a little bit more about what types of therapies are available for people with BPD, and also how important it is for you to know who your therapist is and how you interact with them. If you're looking for a specific therapist that deals with BPD, look for that. Find someone who has that knowledge and that expertise behind them, because this is a very complicated disorder that we live with. It is not easy, and I wouldn't expect everybody to understand what BPD is and the experience of BPD. But if I'm going to work with a therapist, I would at least hope that they have some structural knowledge, some kind of background knowledge of what BPD is, so that I don't have to feel like I'm constantly telling them about what my experiences are and they just fundamentally don't understand. It is complicated, and this whole world of mental health and finding mental health help can feel daunting and overwhelming. So if you ever need help with anything, or you just want somebody to talk to really quickly and you just want me to cheer you on, feel free to reach out on my Instagram at journey, journey.bound, bound. And I can just be a supportive person on this journey that you are on, because we don't have to live by ourselves. We don't have to live with our struggles alone. And I hope you know that. I hope that you know I am rooting for you, and I only want the best for you. And there are a lot of different ways that the world of therapy can go. I haven't mentioned it in this episode, but there's play therapy and art therapy, and there's so many other different types out there. So if you're interested in a part 2 to this, just let me know and I'll make it. But for now, I am sending you nothing but peace and love, and I so hope that you will find space to breathe a little bit more freely, and a comfortable and validating space to talk to someone else outside of your immediate circle of people if that is what you need. I'm sending you nothing but positive thoughts. Bye.